Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Pacific Basin 2012 interim results audio conference presentation on the 1st of August 2012. Throughout today's recorded presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulty hearing the presentation, please press the star followed by the zero on your telephone for operator assistance. I will now hand the conference over to Mats Berglund. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for calling in. With me here today, I have Andrew Broomhead, our CFO, and Emily Lau, our Investor Relations Manager. We announced our six-month results today, and we'll go through some slides, starting with slide number two. Pacific Basin made a net loss of $196 million in the first half of 2012. However, we made an underlying profit of $3 million and generated positive operating cash flow of $48 million. Our balance sheet retains substantial buying power with an increased cash position of $657 million, which more than covers our commitments in respect of 14 dry bulk ships we currently have on order. The largest impact on our results was a significant $190 million non-cash impairment of our RoRo investment, which we announced on 18th of June, reflecting the severe weakness in the RoRo sector. Our core dry bulk shipping business made only a modest profit, but again, delivered a respectable performance in the context of the ongoing poor market. Our average Handysize and Handymax daily earnings continue to outperform both the market and larger ships. Towage results are increasing and in fact accounted for the largest contribution to group results during the half year. In view of these results and the weak dry bulk and RoRo market conditions, the board has not declared an interim dividend. However, for the full year, a payout will be considered based on the group's full-year performance and available cash resources and commitments at that time. Next slide. Our dry bulk division made a net profit of $7.5 million and an operating cash flow of $38 million. Our Handysize daily rates decreased 23% year-on-year, leading to a squeeze in our operating margins, but they still outperformed the weaker spot market by 38%. Our Handymax results were disappointing, due mainly to our reliance on ships we chartered in our fleet in better times last year, for which we did not have adequate cover, thus leaving us more exposed to the weaker market this year. We look forward to taking delivery of the first of our new owned Handymax ships, which start to join our fleet at the end of this year and which we expect to improve our margins. On other developments, our recently expanded office network covering six continents has generated new customers, new long-term cargo contracts, and new project cargo business to supplement our traditional bulk-based activity. Our new maritime operating system provides us with a strong platform for future growth. So far, it has enabled us to operate the highest number of ships in Pacific Basin's history during the first half of 2012 without expanding the size of our dry bulk organization. Slide four. We operated an average of 148 dry bulk ships in the first half of 2012, up from 116 in the first half of last year. Right now, we have 160 ships on the water. Growth is primarily driven by operating more short-term chartered ships as a result of leveraging our market penetration and customer relationships, whereby we profitably combine tonnage and cargo opportunities in the marketplace as an added value to operating our core fleet. As at 23rd July, we had covered 85% of our 33,060 Handysize revenue days in 2012 and at $10,910 per day. We had also covered 19% of our 22,490 Handysize revenue days in 2013 at $12,370 per day. As always, we manage very carefully our degree of forward cargo cover, all the more so in these more volatile market conditions and as we expand our fleet size.
Ladies and gentlemen, please turn to slide number 8.
The market turmoil and severe funding shortage have led to a further 60% drop in new ship ordering activity year on year. Combined with a heavy influx of new ships, this has resulted in a significant reduction in dry bulk capacity on order. The order book for handy-sized vessels fell from 34% a year ago to 23% as at 1st of July. The order book for dry bulk vessels overall has fallen more dramatically from 44% a year ago to 25%. Newbuilding prices remain under pressure as a result of reduced ordering coupled with weak freight market conditions. Clarksons estimates the value of a 35,000 deadweight newbuilding to be $22 million, which is the lowest level since the end of 2004. Next slide on dry bulk outlook. We expect the Handysize and Handymax spot markets to remain weak over the second half of the year. Possible threats include reduced U.S. grain exports if the current drought in the U.S. Midwest persists, and further slowing of Chinese demand. There also remains scope for seasonal demand improvements to lift freight rates temporarily around the end of the third quarter. We still expect dry bulk freight rates will be weaker overall in 2012 than in 2011. 2012 will be a tough year for our dry bulk business. Strategically, we remain committed to directing new investment towards the further expansion of our dry bulk fleet. We believe we are now closer to seeing those opportunities as the protracted dry bulk market weakness and contraction in funding continue to challenge ship owners, many of whom face severely impacted corporate earnings, negative cash flows, and potential insolvency. Turning to our towage division. Towage division generated a net profit of $14.1 million and an operating cash flow of $18.9 million. This reflects our increasingly competitive position in the improving offshore support and harbor towage market in Australia. Notably, we now have two additional chartered-in vessels and one additional owned vessel committed to the Gorgon Offshore LNG project, bringing to 12 the number of tugs we have supporting marine logistics in Western Australia. PB Towage operated 42 vessels on average during the period, with 99% utilization of our tugs and 86% utilization of our barges. Towage outlook. We expect Australian towage market activity to be maintained over the rest of the year and to improve further in the medium term. PB Towage is well placed to participate in that improvement and has recently secured additional business commencing in the second half this year relating to the Australia Pacific LNG project in Gladstone and expanded requirements of the Gorgon LNG project. Strategically, we plan to grow our towage division through carefully considered investments in both the project and harbor sectors as specific projects materialize. PB Towage has delivered increasingly profitable results since we diversified into this business and is expected to continue to be an important contributor to the group's results in the years ahead. Turning to PB RoRo. Our PB RoRo division generated a net loss of $8.5 million in the first half and an operating cash flow of negative $0.8 million. This poor result reflects the increasingly severe weakness in the Eurocentric RoRo sector and its impact on the earnings performance of our RoRo fleet. We achieved average daily charter rates of $19,450 per day on utilization of 55%. Note, though, that the $19,450 per day average is due to fixtures done about 3 years ago that expires very soon, and that today's market time charter rates are around $11,000 to $12,000 per day if you can get one. Demand side weakness in RoRo is compounded by the influx of new buildings delivering into the already oversupplied large RoRo sector, as evidenced by the growing number of idle vessels globally. Three of our six RoRos are currently laid up or idle, for which we are actively seeking employment, and the charters for the remaining three ships expire later this year or early next. Our employment cover for 2013 is only 4%, demonstrating the difficulty of being a tonnage provider in a segment like RoRo where there is no spot market. As announced on 18th of June, a reassessment of prospects for our RoRo business resulted in a significant 190 million non-cash impairment of our RoRo investment. RoRo outlook. We do not have our own route network to fall back on for employment of our RoROs, and we're therefore fully exposed to the current period of severe weakness in this sector. We have downgraded our earnings outlook for our RoRo fleet and business, and we expect PB RoRo will make larger losses this year as employment prospects for our ships coming off charter looks increasingly difficult. We intend to manage our way out of RoRo and exit the sector in an economically rational manner that realizes the maximum possible value for our shareholders. In view of the dysfunctional conditions in the sale and purchase markets for RoRo vessels, a full exit from this segment in the near term is unlikely. In the meantime, securing employment for our RoRo fleet and implementing cost savings remain key objectives. We have to get closer to the line operators to find homes for our ships. Our RoRo strategy has obviously changed, and we're taking immediate actions. The fleet of our RoRo management joint venture, Meridian, has shrunk in size, and many of the managed ships are actively marketed for sale. The Meridian board, therefore, no longer considers Meridian commercially viable and has decided to dissolve this UK joint venture. We took over commercial management of our RoRo fleet from Meridian on 9th of July, and we have already recruited two experienced commercial and operational RoRo specialists who are well-equipped to manage and achieve our revised RoRo strategy. Technical management of the vessels will be outsourced to Northern Marine Management, a large, reputable, and experienced third-party RoRo manager based in Scotland. These structural and people changes afford us, one, full control and improved access to the RoRo line operators for various strategic employment and exit alternatives commercially, and secondly, expected savings in technical management costs due to economies of scale. I will now hand over to Andrew, our CFO, who will go through the financial section. Andrew.
Thank you very much, Matt. Ladies and gentlemen, as we have touched on some of the P&L items, can I ask you to turn to slide 19, and we'll start talking a bit more about the balance sheet. As you can see, the dry bulk segment represents 969 million of vessel book value. Our 42 delivered handy-sized vessels have an average age of 8.1 years and an average book value of 16.9 million. The $657 million of group cash and deposits are managed by Treasury. And at the end of June, we had net borrowings of $196 million, giving a gearing of 14%. On CapEx, if we take vessel capital commitments of $262 million and add them to the book value of those vessels delivered and under construction, the combined value of the group's vessels would amount to $1.62 billion. Dry bulk vessels represent 76% of the group's combined vessel book value. Tugs and barges represent 13%, with RoRos, post the impairment, the remaining 11%. In 2012, we are looking to invest further cash resources in our dry bulk division. We have summarized the payment profile of the group's $853 million of borrowings and included the $262 million of CapEx. We expect that all these payments will be comfortably met by the group's existing $657 million of cash and future operating cash flows. The group generated operating cash flows of $48 million for the period. Coupled with existing cash and $80 million from increased borrowings, this funded vessel payments of $73 million, which included one Handymax and one RoRo vessel, all delivered during the period, and installments for another six dry bulk vessels. This leaves the PB with cash of $657 million at the period end. Now I'd like to hand back to Matt for his outlook.
Thank you, Andrew. Having had a few months to get to know the company as the new CEO, I'd like to summarize the position, outlook, and strategy for each of our three segments, starting with dry cargo. I see a very strong cargo and customer-focused industrial dry cargo business model that really shows its strength in weak markets like today. Talented commercial people, robust cargo contracts, and a large interchangeable fleet of primarily handy-sized ships is an excellent combination. As an example, in the first 6 months, you have just heard that our handy-sized ships averaged $10,500 per day, while as a comparison, average market rates for Capesize ships, five times the size, averaged only $6,200. We expect a continued weak market with 2012 rates averaging lower than 2011. But this weak market combined with severe funding shortage for many other owners and shipyards will eventually lead to fleet expansion opportunities for cash-rich companies like ourselves. We will be working internally with a plan this fall regarding how we can best invest further in our core dry cargo segment, but you should not expect a major change in our dry cargo strategy, and this is where most of our investments will take place. We're happy with our position in the towage segment and expect further improvement in the medium term, primarily due to continued growth in our services to the Australian LNG projects. We will look to grow our towage division further through carefully considered investments, both in the project and harbor sectors, as specific projects materialize. As regards Ro-Ro, it is enormously difficult to be a tonnage provider in this narrow and European-centric business. There are too many large Ro-Ros around, volumes have been shrinking, and we must get closer to the operators of the lines to find homes for the ships. A full exit from this segment may well take some time, but you already see us taking actions to get this done. We want to shift our Ro-Ro investments to dry bulk, where we have one, control of cargo, and two, we see more upside. We will also consider opportunities for exiting the other non-core investments that we have. You can expect focus, not diversification ahead. In closing, we're confident that we can weather the continued market turmoil and that we will emerge from the weak market larger and more competitive, delivering world-class service to our customers and value to our shareholders over the long term. That concludes our presentation, and we invite for questions.
Thank you, sir. If any participant would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. If you wish to cancel this request, please press the star followed by the two. Your questions will be polled in the order they are received, and there will be a short pause while participants register for a question. The first question comes from Andrew Lee. Please state your question.
Hi guys. Thanks for doing this conference call. Could you explain a little bit more detail about the handy-sized vessel costs? Because I see that the owned costs have actually increased compared to the full year 2011. Could you explain what are the items behind that?
Yeah, it's a good pickup you do there. There's two main reasons. One is increased crewing and maintenance costs, and the other reason is our increased percentage of ships operating in the Atlantic. The Atlantic is generally a more expensive area to operate in. One of the things that's more expensive is crew travel. So the combination of these two explanations is the reason for that increase.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
The next question comes from Candy Chen. Please state your question.
Well, I'm Candy. Is this the first time that the low dividend of your company in the half years? What do you think about the payout ratio for the whole year, friends?
Yes, you are correct. This is the first time we have not paid an interim dividend. And we have stated that in 2008, we didn't pay an interim dividend as well. We have stated though that the board's policy is to consider paying out the dividend. The policy is still the same, and at the year end we will assess based on the cash flows and the CapEx requirements of the company, whether we would still consider recommending a final dividend for shareholders.
Thank you.
Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the 1 on your telephone. To cancel this request, please press the star followed by the 2.
Maybe we can go to the answer some questions for the website.
There was one question on the website that the question is, do we still have any tugs in the Middle East after closing the Fujairah bulk shipping? The answer is yes, we still have 7 tugs in the Middle East. Well, actually, five tugs and 2 barges, 7 units. We have managed to reposition 2 ships from that area to Australia, where the market is stronger. So the Middle East area market is more depressed, but we still have 7 ships there.
There was a question in relation to the expected dry bulk commitments. So to be clear, at the moment we have $262 million of contracted capital expenditure. We are looking for opportunities to make further investments, which will be in addition to those contracted capital expenditures, but it would depend on finding the right vessel at the right price.
Question from Corinne at J.P. Morgan. Do I see any improvement needs in Pacific Basin after coming on board? I hope to be able to do something about RoRo. It's certainly something that we can improve. And as mentioned, it's a very narrow market where the ships operate on fixed timetable lines. There is no spot market. And I think we got to apply a slightly different strategy to try to place our ships and exit that segment. I'm extremely happy to be with the company. I find a very strong organization. I love the business model. Cargo is king. Cargo contracts, interchangeable ships, triangulation, all the right things. It allows us to manage the combination of owned and chartered ships in a very flexible way, and we're in a great position with a strong cash position, strong balance sheet, and we'll look to take advantage in the coming months and years. Another Corinne J.P. Morgan question, are you more inclined towards placing new vessel orders or buying second-hand ships? We are looking at that on a vessel-by-vessel basis. All things equal, it's always better to buy an existing ship. We're not adding to the fleet capacity overall. And an existing ship we can start to use straight away, a new building commitment. We tie up our money and we don't get the ship until 1.5-2 years. So all things equal, we'll always choose the second-hand ship. But we will look at both. And as mentioned in my presentation, having only been here 2 months, one of the things that we are working on right now is to work on a plan for how exactly we want to invest, new building, second-hand, handy-size, handy-max, et cetera. We'll be working on that throughout this fall, making our projections, et cetera. Any other questions? Did we miss one?
Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the 1 on your telephone. To cancel this request, please press the star followed by the 2.
All right. If there's no further questions, thank you very much for calling in, and do not hesitate to call in privately either to Emily, Andrew, or myself, and I look forward to work with you in the months and years ahead. Thank you very much.
This concludes the Pacific Basin 2012 Interim Results Audio Conference presentation. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.